Last week I spoke of the wise men's journey to visit the infant Jesus and drew a couple of things for us to think about from that story. We focused on how the wise men followed the star, and I said that we don't always follow well. We often prefer to lead rather than follow, and sometimes we want to run ahead of the game, and that's not good either, because it's important that we follow when we're instructed, not race ahead into a place or situation that hasn't been first prepared for us. And I know a bit about racing ahead. Some of us are afraid to follow, and especially when all the I's aren't dotted and the T's are not crossed. We need to understand absolutely everything and have it all tried and tested before we can rely on it. And I talked about how we get called into a mission field, just like our purity, when we have little understanding of what we will meet, only trusting in God that he has prepared the way for us. And the other thing we looked at was how Herod had a real fear of a child. And I reminded you and me that we need to have the faith of a child and come to Jesus as a child. This means we have to accept without always understanding. Accept and trust. And there's real power in this kind of faith. Satan hates us to have this kind of faith because it's a very powerful weapon against the enemy. But we're very much human and do struggle with all of this. However, once we've trusted, we need also to believe without necessarily understanding. Accept. We need to accept and be blessed without seeing something that's... Yes, I'll rephrase that. We need to accept even when we're seeing something that's unexplainable. And the new year has well and truly started now, and we're praying as we're moving forward as a church. We're praying as either a believer, or maybe we're still seeking in certain areas with various different things on our minds. And we're praying as a church as we start this new year. We'll all have concerns and hopes for the future. We've heard about Pat and John's. And we're going to be putting God first in our personal journeys and our corporate one as the Oasis Community Church. Because putting God first must be our number one priority. And only by doing this can all our hopes for our loved ones have a safe anchor. We're going to look today at the stories of two people in the Bible that were on a time journey. Simeon was waiting for something that had been promised by the Holy Spirit. Anna was an aging prophet. And these two little scriptures, one of them a lot bigger than the other, but these two scriptures have an important place in the story of the infant baby Jesus. And so I'm now going to ask for reading one, please.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon. Was that Simeon?
Simeon.
Yeah, I should know. Who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And when Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Thank you, Josie. Do you know, I wonder, and I've often, when I've read that part, and I mean, Mary had been, we heard the story, we've enacted it, we've done all sorts of things over the Christmas period. And here she is, Mary, and she's also being told those words, "A sword will pierce your side too." And I just think, how would I feel if somebody spoke to me like that about the baby that I'd got in my arms? She already knew that this was all very special. She already knew, because the angel had told her, the shepherds had been, the wise men had been, and now this man says this. It's just something that I was thinking about. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm just going to ask you to just let your mind wander a wee bit of what that must have said to her, and how many years later she might well recall it. The second reading tells us about a woman who is clearly worthy of also being mentioned in this. So I'm going to ask for the second reading. Thank you, Andy.
There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Thank you, Andy. So, we've got Mary and Joseph. In order to fulfill the Jewish law regarding the birth of a male child, they'd taken Jesus to be circumcised. And it would be normal for him to be officially named at this service. And although the Bible doesn't say as much, as it probably all took place in Bethlehem. And the next stage of it all is this purification, the mother and the baby's dedication. This, we know, took place in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, if you walked it as they would have done then, is about 4.5 miles, roughly. But if you were driving it, or you were going modern day, it's about 6.5 miles. So, but they would have been walking. And I just sort of want to point that little bit out, because this was, I was thinking, I'm Mary, I've just had a baby, and now I've got to walk, or perhaps she went on the donkey, 4.5 miles, and then where was she going afterwards? It's a lot. Well, Mary and Joseph were following the regulations that are set out in Leviticus. And this is where, incidentally, we learn that Joseph and Mary were quite poor because their offering was not a sheep, but they brought a bird offering instead. And Jesus would have been called Yeshua, which is Jesus as we understand it. And the story around Simeon is a brief one. And yet it's counted as important because he'd been promised that he would not die before seeing the child that was the Messiah. So this tells me that he must have been getting on a bit. He was not young. And he had this information courtesy of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't commonplace then. The Holy Spirit was rarely experienced like that in the Old Testament days. And the scripture tells us that he's satisfied now. He knew he'd seen the Messiah. He was confident. He knew he'd received the promise. And now he could go. He could leave this earth having had his promise fulfilled. And Simeon takes the baby and he speaks a blessing. And this blessing was based on Isaiah 49, which speaks of the one formed in the womb that is to be God's servant and through whom salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. Luke identifies Jesus with the servant of Isaiah. The comparison with the shepherds, that bit goes a wee bit further when we were reading about that last week. And now we've got a childless widow. She would have had a low place, we know, in Jewish society because she hadn't got any children. She would have probably been poor. But there she is. She had been there praying, fasting, living at the temple. And she was a prophet. And she'd been chosen by God for a task. And just as God said that God's favor rested on those shepherds, His favor rested on this lady who was in the temple, worshipping, praising God. All those years, his favor was upon her. Wow. Well, the things that really struck me when I read these two passages, and I read them in several different versions, was the differences in the similarities. They were both old. They both had deep core beliefs. One delights in the fact that the promise of the Holy Spirit had been accomplished and he can now rest in peace. And the other has stayed within the temple, fasting and praying within the enclosure. And on seeing Jesus, she is jubilant and tells everyone. Everyone. 80-odd years in a temple and a recluse, and now she's an evangelist. Because that's it. I wonder, and I'm thinking about this, how long and how much time she'd spent praying. Do you know, when I think about when we pray and how much time we give to prayer, and she'd spent all those years doing it. And when Peter, when you read that piece out, Peter, and I can remember thinking to myself, phew, I don't respond the way I should to God. And this woman had done all this praying. I think that struck me more than the story of Simeon, probably because I'm a woman. And it was just so powerful. So powerful. Going back to last week, because I'm looking at journeys, I wonder how long the wise men actually studied their astrology and books before they saw the star and recognized it. And then, how long before they actually set out on their journey? And it would have been the journey of a lifetime. Journeying, and we're all journeying. We're all moving along, whether we're moving along in our independent lives or our corporate life in the Oasis Community Church. We're all journeying. And this week we've seen the patience of Simeon and Anna and their faith in God. Trusting in him. And do you know something they both had in common? They had joy in their old age. And I have to sit here and I think to myself, you know, this church knows something about old age. Because there's a lot of us. And we should be thinking about this. And I want to say to you, do you know something? If they had been so patient, waiting for their main task, Anna all that time, and then she's just so overjoyed. She'd been a recluse. And now she's telling everyone. And Simeon, who patiently waited and waited. And I can't help but look at my elderly congregation, including myself in that comment, and thinking, it's not over yet. It is not over yet. Because as we move forward with all the changes that the year ahead will hold for each of us and the church, and it's scary, I know it, it's scary, and the older you get, the scarier it gets. And you're thinking, oh, I haven't got the time to do all that I want to do. But we have to do one thing. And we have to do it right. We need to patiently seek God in every single thing we do, putting him first. Matthew 6:33 tells us this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Whatever it is we're concerning ourselves, whatever personal problem we've got, wherever our prayers in that quiet time is taking us, we're not going to get any good answers to it unless we seek first God's kingdom. This church used to meet some 30 odd years ago in Ian Reed's lounge, our minister then, at 33 minutes past 6 on a Thursday morning. We felt it so strongly that we met at 6:33 every single week. And I was one of them that went. Many of them that met in that lounge have now already gone to Father. Some the rest of us aren't working anymore. Apart from me, I hold my hand up to that one. But do you know something? That was such an important verse. Now, I'm not suggesting it's so important we resurrect the past, because that's not what God wants. God wants us to do a new thing in a new way with what he's doing now, because the past is gone and the future's ahead and we're in the present. And in the present, we need to be seeking God. Seeking God first. So, what am I saying? I don't know exactly where God is going to lead us, but I do know it's going to be good. As we've read, and you've got to take this on board, as we've just read, you are never too too old to be blessed by God. Have you something that you want to see happen before you leave this earth? And I think as we get older, we do. We want to see certain things that we've been, maybe we've been praying for family for many months, years. Maybe we're not seeing very much happen. And we'd love to see whatever it is come into play before we leave. And we have to accept the possibility is we won't. I don't think my old aunt, and I know she prayed for me, I don't think my old aunt would have ever thought that I would ever be the minister, because she died when I was only about 8 or 9. But I know that she prayed for me because she was a devout woman. Is there something you've received already as a promise from God, but it's not yet been fulfilled? And that goes for everybody. Reach out to him with renewed strength this year and trust. He loves you, his children, and he only wants the best for you. So make yourself ready, because you've no idea what this year is going to bring. As individuals, as a church, can we determine in our hearts to seek God first? Ponder on what lies ahead. Take strength from the readings that we've just heard. Those are powerful readings. They speak to me as an old person, I can tell you. And put your trust in God, as Simeon and Anna did, that God's will be done. Let it be done in our lives, our homes, and in our town, as we lift Brightlingsea before Father. Loving Lord, you speak to us so often and we have deaf ears. I pray, Father, that you're going to unclog our ears as we move into this new year, that we'll hear from you clearly, that we will be so stimulated that we will move to carry out what it is you're asking us to do. And Father, I know you hear our prayers when we're praying for our children and our children's children. You hear us as we pray. And Father, I pray that each person in this room, as they're praying to you over something so dear to their heart, has that prayer met and answered in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.